Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos.
And Sister Almond.
We are coming to you for our nightly. It's still daylight out, so it's not real late today.
And the clouds are beautiful, too.
They are. Beautiful clouds.
Yeah.
Our edification audio, and we want to bring you some encouragement, as well as all the other stuff we put up, like in our Ecclesia gathering area, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So today we got up and we did some things online. Then we rolled to a new town. First we had to stop. Where'd we stop, Sister Almond?
Let me think. Oh.
You got to pick up some stuff.
Yeah, I did. Brings me great joy. A sister has a sewing shop, and I ordered some head coverings from her, and she had them sent and waiting for me because we don't always get to our post office box.
Yeah, we get there like twice a year.
Yeah, so that was a great joy, and she did an awesome job. Thank you, sister.
You made a video of that.
I did. I sent it to
them.
So
that was kind of neat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And the gospel went out there. The guy that was there was a new guy. We hadn't seen him before. So we got that done. And then the first thing this morning, we stopped and we went to a place where I get ice, and I had a coffee coupon, so I went in and got coffee, and I met two more Mormons. And the gospel went out to two more Mormons there, so that was pretty awesome. And, of course, as we travel, the gospel goes out at stores and gas stations along the way. Sister Almond just walked a strip of stores here where we are, and what happened, Sister Almond?
Put some gospel cards out. A couple women got gospel cards, too.
And what happened right here?
We were just finished up supper, and then I was cleaning it up, and a woman pulled up and said she likes the gospel signs on our van. We're sitting in a great big humongous parking lot with a bunch of stores around it.
Yeah.
And so I went out and witnessed to her and shared the truth with her. I loved her and tried to correct her and put her in, guide her in the right
direction. She listened for a little bit, and then she pushed back and had to go.
She had to go.
Yeah. But we know them by their fruit. We shall see.
But she said she was going to go check
her
out.
So that's
hopefully
right.
Hopefully she tests herself.
Yep, exactly. What's on your mind today, Sister Almond, besides witnessing the gospel, which we do every single day? What else is on your mind?
Just a couple thoughts here. One of them I was just thinking about, made me think about it when I was talking to her. When I first walked out the door, see, she pulled up to the side of the van where Brother Tupos was sitting, and she just conversed just a little bit with him while I was getting out.
Yeah, she said, "I love all your signs."
Yeah, and as I came around the corner, she was saying, I don't know if it was to you or she just said it to me, she said, "I speak in tongues." It's like one of the first things she happened to mention.
Yeah.
And so that was part of...
Could she be a Pentecostal?
Yeah, I identified that later. And so anyway, I was thinking about, you know, this tongue speaking. We run into a lot of them and none of them are biblical that we've seen yet. And I happened to tell her that. And I warned her. I said, you know, that could be familiar spirits. That could be evil. And she said, I know. And it made me think about how many people have we run into that we talk about demons, evil spirits, these experiences.
And they don't deny
it. They don't deny it.
One lady at that music festival said, yeah, I have a demon.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I was just thinking it's pretty crazy that people will admit that, but then they're not fearing and going, hey, wait a minute, was I deceived or something? Yeah. They're just so oblivious to
it. Yeah, it is. It's great deception.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely. And we just keep seeing it more and more.
Yeah, we do. We do. What else you got, Sister Almond?
Just another point. I don't have a whole lot because we're kind of busy and... I do have this point here, and I'm sure you're going to have some good stuff to share. I don't know who said this. You might have said it just yesterday or today. Never going to argue people into the kingdom.
Yeah.
And John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. And it's something that the fellowship's been talking about, you know, about witnessing, how far to go, learning to identify hearers.
Did a teaching on it yesterday.
Yeah, hearers, listeners, you know, like
mockers.
The seekers, the mockers, you know, learning how far to keep handing out God's precious pearls.
Right.
And sometimes getting into debates and things like that it isn't necessarily fruitful, and I've been really trying to keep this in my mind a lot lately.
We're commanded not to cast our pearls.
Yeah, and it's not black and white.
No.
But it comes through experience. But if you keep that in your mind as you're witnessing, it will help guide you, and the Holy Spirit will too.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So the point was, we can't argue people into the kingdom. So if they're seeking, they're going to want to ask and answer questions. Maybe they don't agree with it, but they're like kind and gentle seeking. Yeah. If they're mockers, you can tell right away. But if it's somebody who just wants to keep push, and it goes into a long, drawn-out debate.
We know that we have to contend to a certain degree because Jude tells us to earnestly contend for the faith. We know Jesus and Paul were disputing and contending in the synagogues. So we know it's okay. And Paul even says for leaders and elders and teachers, it says that they could teach and win the naysayer, gain the naysayer. So there are, we do strive, talks about pulling men from the fire and be careful, you know, their garments and all of that. Be careful not to get caught up in all of their sin as well. So we do, we don't just say, oh, you're not listening, we throw people away. But we go a distance with people. And then once they, once we see, let me give you a good example. If you pulled up to a homeless guy and you said, hey, are you hungry? And if the guy said, Yeah, maybe I'm kind of hungry. You might stay with him a little bit longer than say, well, let me get you some food and let me help you. What if you pull up to a homeless guy and he said, what are you doing here? No, I'm not hungry. Get away from me. How long would you go with the homeless guy for food? Right. So look at the spiritual needs the same way. When you witness to somebody, do they have a spiritual need? Do they have ears to hear? Are they listening? Are they fighting against you? Or are they going, hey, what do you have to say to me? So even if they then say, oh, no, I believe this. And you could try to say, no, that's not right. What about this? You try to go based upon their desire to hear and listen. And if they won't hear and listen, you can't go very far with them. You can give a gospel card, you can warn them of some things, and then cut them loose.
Yeah, especially the gospel. What we run into a lot of is professed believers.
Oh, yeah.
And many will agree on most of the gospel, and you can have a reasonable conversation with them. Yeah, they get stuck on the end on endurance sometimes.
Yeah.
But then it's after that, usually, that you start listing some things and they say, yeah, we agree, that's sinful. And then it kind of gets narrowed down and then it begins to push back and forth. And at some point, it gets brought back to the gospel and repentance that they haven't done.
Right.
And that it has to be finished off. Because where else can you go?
Yeah, because what everybody wants is they want the itchy-eared, man-pleasing information. Yeah, praise the Lord, amen. Everybody wants to say praise the Lord, amen in the street. But as soon as you say, yeah, praise the Lord, amen, Jesus said, keep the commandments I've taught you and teach them to obey everything I've taught. They go, oh, we got to obey. And all of a sudden you can see a shift. They have a different Jesus, a different gospel that doesn't call them to obedience. Most of them are not true converts. Most of them are false converts.
Right.
So you can only go so far. And like you said, and you learn that from experience.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So I just thought I would share that.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Look up at the teaching blog. We got a lot of resources on how to witness and how to do street evangelism. I guess the one point I wanted to talk about was, as I get to my note here, I want to encourage saints. Yeah, this one, I made a note on this. I want to encourage saints, brothers and sisters, to not let this life get in the way of what God's called us to do. Let me give you an example. Some brothers have become roommates. They won't mind me saying this. And when you become roommates, you can get all swept in and all the physical parts of that and working everything out and everything. And you can get so caught up in the physical aspect of it, you can lose the call or get diminished of the call to study, have fellowship, be brothers, go out and preach the gospel. And you get caught up in apartment life, and not that these men are, but I'm just giving them an example of that. Or sisters can get caught up too much in Titus 2 duties.
Cooking and cleaning.
Oh, my house is spotless. You can white glove it. I cook, I clean, I do all this stuff. And you go, hey, what are you studying in the Word of God, and how are you witnessing out there? And they go, what? No, I don't do that.
I don't have time.
So we see that in like the Mennonite world. If you went into the Mennonite world, their houses, you could probably eat off the floor. And their cupboards and their pantries and everything's in order. But they don't know the Word of God, these women. They don't go out and share the Word of God. Neither do the men. But their lives physically are in perfect order. That's a good example of their everything. Their leaven's out of their cabinets, not their sin. Everything is clean. It reminds me of the guy that said, oh, my harvest is great. I'm going to build extra barns and store it all away. And then what happens to him, Sister Amen?
Gone. God owns it all.
His soul is required of him that day.
Yeah, that night.
So have a balance. Yeah, I agree. Our van isn't messy, but we're not fanatics about it. We eat pretty good, but we're not organic foodie people. I think it's a good balance to have with husbands, wives, or brothers that live together, that they keep things in order. God first, the brethren and their families, and preaching the gospel next, and then making mammon, and then the physical things in your life. Keep them in order. One brother today, we were talking, and I think I said something that kind of meant a lot. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you think John the Baptist would care about the condition of his cave he was living in and make a big deal about how his rocks were arranged? And this young brother looked and he said, no.
Yeah.
And that says it all. We need to be focused on what's the major thing in our lives, a priority. And make a list of the 10 top things. Take care of the top 3 or 4 every day with all zealous. You'll do fine. Those things that are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, they end up being not all that important.
Right. And we see an example of that in the scriptures.
Where's that?
Mary and Martha.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Titus 2, got to be doing all the keeping and everything. And nope, she wanted to be with her master.
She was actually making more work for herself
in
there, yeah.
Yeah, so I just wanted to have that thought. And I had a scripture verse to go with that. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above.
Mm-hmm.
Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Right.
Apartments, cars, jobs. You got to have a job.
Children.
But watch out that a career doesn't sweep you away. Hobbies. I'm trying to eat good so I take good care of my temple now.
Yeah.
That's okay. But we know people get caught up into the foodie world and they spend a lot of money. They spend more time on that than they spend in the Word of God.
Yeah.
So you got to watch out. Not our brothers and sisters, but people that we've known of in the past.
Right.
And then it says, set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God.
I love that.
Yeah. So that would be my admonition. Sister Amma and I had to learn that the hard way. We'll confess there was a time that we probably let homesteading be more important to us than we should have. Would you agree with that, Sister Amma?
Right. I wouldn't say that it overpowered my love and devotion and serving of the Lord. But I think I spent a lot more extra time that was really needed on it. And we saw that after we gave it up.
We got convicted of it and said, we got to do something about this. And the Lord called us to do more things because, you know, your pantry can be only so full. Your garden can only be so nice. You can only buy so much more land. You can only make your house look nicer. And then it's like, we got to leave all this anyway.
Yeah, especially us not having children or anything at home. And if, like you always said, if we can't go, who can?
Yeah, and so, yeah.
I think that's how you said it.
Think about that. And brothers and sisters that labor, whether you labor for Mammon Brothers or sisters, you labor in your Titus 2 house, you still can fit in study, fellowship, and going out and sharing the gospel. You could fit all that in.
Oh, I know sisters, they take the children out for walks every day for witnessing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we know a sister.
Open to witness.
We know a sister lives in a big city up in Canada, and they have all kinds of immigrants from all over the world, and she's witnessing to Hindus and Muslims and atheists just by taking her children out with another sister,
right.
And they go out and they do it. So
that's awesome.
You can fit it in there.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage you in that. What else? Let's see. What else we want to talk about? I did a teaching on Christ did not go to hell. This is a false way that really comes out of the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is a man-made doctrine, and the Apostles' Creed says Christ descended into hell. And as we study the scriptures in context, in their full meaning, there's bad translations in the King James for the word hell. Christ did not descend into hell. So we did a teaching on that, and it's going to be up in the Ecclesia Gathering area. What'd you learn, or what do you think about that, Sister Amma?
I think it was a really good teaching on there, and you and I have been talking about that a lot. I wanted to say something about the Apostles' Creed, having come from a Lutheran background.
They love the Apostles' Creed.
Oh, I know. You know, so here's what I learned. I'll tell you. This is what I learned through all those years of going through the Lutheran system, and the Lord protected me. I know He did. I learned the books of the Bible, all of them. We had to memorize them to graduate catechism. I learned the Apostles' Creed. And I learned the Lord's Prayer, but I never learned that the Bible was the Word of God. I learned it was a book written
like a manual.
By man.
Yeah, just a manual for life, right? Yeah.
So when I left that place, those three things I remembered. I can't remember all the books of the Bible now, and I knew some of the songs. That was it.
Yeah.
They like lift that way, way up high.
Yeah, they do.
And to be honest with you, I didn't even understand what I was memorizing.
Yeah, the Apostles' Creed. I remember I was angry when I found out the Apostles' Creed wasn't written by the apostles.
Yeah, I know. I questioned that early on in my walk. I was like, who wrote that? Because I don't see it in the scriptures anywhere.
I remember telling a pastor one time, what a bunch of liars. It's not the Apostles' Creed. It's a man-made creed. It should be called the Evangelical Creed. We're not made by the apostles.
I know.
The apostles never once said Jesus descended into hell. And they didn't write this creed. So anyway, I did a teaching on it because one brother made a comment and we wanted to define it. And we wanted everybody to understand rightly and be united perfectly in one mind. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says we should be. And then I thought this was awesome. A brother who's the newest brother we're united to from the other side of the world. He's an older man, closer to my age. Boy, he jumped right up with his studies and he put his notes in there. And he showed how he doesn't believe Christ went into hell, and that's a false doctrine. And, wow, he did a really good job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so awesome.
I was really thankful for that brother to kind of back up what I was teaching and saying. And that's how the body of Christ works. And some people might not know that, you know, this is a big danger. Ready? Hey, Sister Amen, did you know there's 3 wise men that came to visit Jesus?
Test that to the scriptures. Nowhere does it say 3 wise men.
I grew up thinking 3 wise men. You know, there was 3 gifts. But we don't know how many wise men. And so that's just another one of those urban legends. Hey, Sister Amen, did you know the King James Bible in the New Testament says that Jonah was swallowed by a whale?
Yeah, but in Jonah 2 it says a fish.
We don't know if it was a whale or a fish, but it certainly wasn't a whale. I mean, we don't know it's a whale for sure.
How about the apple in the garden?
Yeah, and it doesn't say that in the Bible, but other people have hinted.
They say it. Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe
No, that's okay, but it's still...
I mean, it's kind of like those myths.
We call it urban legend.
Yeah.
Like Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I saw him one time, maybe somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, yeah, test all things, and we got to be careful of those things. And so, yeah, Jesus going into hell just was not the case. We did that teaching on that. That brother stepped up and helped us. So that will edify you, too. A lot of people teach falsely. They teach Jesus went into hell to further cleanse and purify his people. That's not true. And they say all kinds of things that he did, but the Bible doesn't say what he did after in those 3 days. But he did say, he did tell the thief on the cross, you'll be with me in paradise. That don't sound like Hades fire, does it?
Kind of gives you an answer right there.
Yeah, that don't tell you. It doesn't sound like Hades fire to me.
Right.
So we have a teaching on that. Sister Amen, anything else about what we talked about or anything else on your heart or scripture verse or anything you want to share?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, as different parts of the body bring up different views, whether they be correctly interpreted or not, I love how everybody dives on it and starts digging into the scriptures to rightly divide it. So what is it? Help me out. 1 or 2 Corinthians 1:10.
For what, hon?
Maybe I got that wrong. Everyone's speaking the same thing.
Oh, yeah, it's 1 Corinthians 1:10. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, 1 Corinthians 1:10.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 1:10.
Yeah, and so it's like, it's not one of those things where, oh, well, you know, I guess whatever, we'll get to it someday. It's like, this is serious.
Oh, yeah.
The body digs right into it to make sure everybody ends up.
We root out any leaven.
Right? Yeah, and I guess I think of it, we were just talking about how you drop something on the ground, a piece of food, and the ants all come in there,
get it.
And they take care of it, and they do their job, and then they disappear, and it's all gone.
Right.
And I see that as the body.
Or the seagulls showing up and picking up all the scraps.
If an issue comes up, or a question, or a need a clarification on something in the scriptures, it's like everybody comes around it, and the men divide it rightly, and they get it to the answer, and then the issue is gone.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if and I want to say issue.
Well, issue, disagreement, misunderstanding.
Question,
and we always tell people, I always say to people, hey, either I'm wrong or you're wrong or we're both wrong. We're all wrong. We got to get it right. It doesn't matter who's wrong, who's right. We got to get it right in the Word of God.
There's one truth.
Yeah, and so as long as we don't have pride and none of us are infallible and we can sharpen our sword, the Holy Spirit teaches us all truth, John 16. So that's what we go after, and that's how we walk. That's how we can preach this truth boldly. That's how we're ready to die for the faith and anything we believe, because we've rooted it out. We believe it. The Lord said it. We keep it. We know it. That's what we believe. Not, well, we're not sure what we believe. That's not what we do. Jesus spoke with authority. Why? He was ready to die for everything the Father called him to do. We want to be that way.
Right. And I was just thinking, you know, oftentimes when a big serious study comes up or something like that, we get to use it not too long after somebody brings the topic up for witnessing. Yeah,
yep.
It's like, hey, we just got done studying on that.
It'll come up. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're blameless. We want to make sure that we're blameless when we go out and we witness and we preach to people. We want to make sure that we're speaking the same things and we're not speaking heresy, because if we have a bunch of false teaching and people find it, that's not going to give anybody good confidence that we are in the Word and that we know what we're doing. And so that's why we root out all sin. That's why we root out every false doctrine and every false way. So,
and speaking of... speaking of all speaking the same thing, I was thinking about how when we were out preaching the gospel, how we were preaching the gospel out on the streets, a woman came by. Actually, this happened a couple times. somebody said, oh, I got a gospel card from one of those other men over there. And I knew on that gospel card it was all going to say the same thing, just as the same as we had. So
right,
I was able
yeah,
to walk her through it.
Yeah, because we're united and we speak the same thing. So that's why we root all those things out and make sure that we can sharpen our swords in the Word of God, and we have unity that glorifies God. So, anything else, sister? I know you got a scripture to share.
I do. I have a scripture verse. I have this, and it says what it says. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever.
I love that. I love that. He deals with man differently, but he is the same always.
Amen.
That's something people have wrong. He doesn't always deal with man the same way, but his character and nature is the same.
Right.
He's just, he's righteous, he's holy, he's angry, he's fiery, he's jealous, he's righteousness. All those things never change about him, but praise God, he deals with us in different ways, and he makes allowances for us so that we're not destroyed or consumed by his amazing holiness,
right.
Righteousness. He would consume us all and destroy us like in Noah's day, but he's merciful and he makes a way for us.
Yeah, even his glory.
Yeah.
Because he had to hide, who'd he hide in the rock?
Moses.
Moses, yeah. Yeah.
I got a teaching coming up about that.
Covering up the glory, yeah.
Are you hidden by the rock? I have a teaching coming up above on that. Moses hidden by the rock for righteous sake, or are you hidden by the rocks because of sin's sake? Sin's
right.
sake. We'll have a teaching coming up on that. But tomorrow we are going to head further out of the area. We got to make it to a couple more towns before we get to a festival preach this weekend. And we're looking forward to it. And good Lord willing, our two brothers are going to join us again. And then we plan on spending a day, we talked about it, in a place that Sister Amon found that we can camp for free. And we're just going to have fellowship and draw close to each other and all that. So we're looking forward to that, aren't we, Sister Amon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the last thing I have for today is, Sister Amon and I, are you thankful, Sister Amon, for what we get to do?
Yeah, I'm so thankful he set us free from all that darkness, and we get to walk in the light and carry this precious truth. I'm very, very thankful.
Yeah, we're thankful to know the people of God, have unity, have fellowship, have accountability. We're thankful to know Christ. We're thankful for the Spirit, the Word. And we're thankful, Sister Emma and I are thankful for what we get to go and do every day. We don't have to labor in the world for work anymore like younger people do, and we get to focus on ministry full time. So I have a question, Sister Emma.
Okay.
Are you proud of what we get to do for the Lord?
I'm a proud doer of the Lord.
You took my scripture verse from me. Let me read this to you. Psalm 31:23. First of all, pride is sin if it's on us, in us, about us. And actually, it's an abomination. Proverbs 6:17 says, a proud look and pride is an abomination to God. But Psalm 31:23, ready? Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and the plentiful rewardeth the proud doer. So if we're doing the work of God, we can be proud of what we're doing in Christ. It's about Christ. It's about the Word. It's about eternity. It's not about, look at how great I am. It's about, look at how great my God is. Paul boasted about Christ all the time.
Right.
I want to do that too.
Amen. Me too.
So I'm glad that we can be proud doers as we root out the pride in our life and lift up Christ crucified.
Amen.
We're going to leave it right there. That's all we got for tonight. We got to go gather with some saints. We hope that you are striving for the kingdom of God. We got a lot of resources to help you. Check out what is up at the top of the daily edification page, and then go check out those ecclesia gatherings and check out all the other resources,
mm-hmm.
Sisters things, street preaching, thousands of things on our website. Hey, I'm boasting in Christ. He's allowed us to go and do forth these things. He taught it to us. He said, let your light shine. He said, be salt. Why wouldn't we go out? He gave us the resources. Why wouldn't we go do this, Sister
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. For his glory.
Amen. We're going to leave right there. We love you all. Strive for the kingdom. Don't look back. No one's fit for the kingdom looking backwards.
Mm-mm.
Luke 9:62.
We love you, sister saints and brothers out there, too.
Yeah, we care for you all with a fervent love.
Yeah, and we're not faking it either. It's
Amen.
It's not feigned.
Hopefully our lives show that every day.
Yeah.
All right. Till next time. God be praised.